Hey, everybody. Welcome to Something Genuine. And the crowd goes, wow. I see Connie going wild. You're the crowd, Connie. Yay. Thanks for being here. We are going to listen to a video tonight. Hi, Sharon. We're going to listen to a video tonight suggested by our very own Dawn Fernandez. I almost forgot your name. Yay, look at the crowd going wild. Sharon and Connie both, that's awesome. So, the name of this video, I'm going to tell you, is right here. It is Life is Easy. Why Do We Make It So Hard? A message by John Dye. Our whole reason for doing this is so that we can get other people's perspectives. Non-dogmatic, non-religious, not necessarily religious perspective on life. And so that's what we will find in this video. And without further ado, take it away, Dawn. Oh, I said no further ado. Here's a little bit more ado. Remember to take notes so you'll know what you want to say when it comes time to discuss it. Okay, I'm done.
That's one word that I always want to say to everybody in my life now. That word is life is easy. It's so easy and fun. Before that, I never think like that. When I was in Bangkok, I feel like life is very hard, very complicated. I was born in a poor village from the northeastern of Thailand. And when I was a kid, everything is fun and easy. But when the TV came, many people came to the village, they said, you are poor. You need to follow succeed for your life. You need to go to Bangkok to pursue success in your life. So I feel bad, I feel poor. So I need to go to Bangkok. When I went to Bangkok, it's not very fun. I said, you need to learn, study a lot, and work very hard. And then you will get success. I work very hard, 8 hours per day at least. But what I can eat is just a bowl of noodle per meal. Or sometimes a dish of fried rice or something like that. And where I stay is very bad. A small room with a lot of people sleep. It's very hot. I start to question a lot. When I work hard, why my life so hard? It must be something wrong because I produce a lot of things, but I cannot get enough. And I try to learn, I try to study in university. It's very hard to learn in university because it's very boring. And I start to look at the subject in university. Every faculty, most of them is destructive knowledge. It's no productive knowledge in university for me. When I look at something like if you learn to be architect or engineer, that means you ruin more. The more these people work, the mountain will be destroyed more. And the good land in Chao Phraya Basin will be covered with concrete more and more. We destroy more. If you learn agricultural faculty or something like that means you learn how to poison, to intoxicate the land, the water, and learn to destroy everything. I feel like everything we do is so complicated, so hard, and everything, we just make it hard. Life is so hard. I feel disappointed. I start to think about why I have to be here in Bangkok. I thought about when I was a kid. Nobody worked 8 hours per day. Everybody worked 2 hours, 2 months a year. planting rice 1 month and harvest the rice another month. The rest is free time, 10 months of free time. That's why people have so many festivals in Thailand. Every month they have festival. Because they have so much free time. And then in the daytime, everybody even take a nap. Even now in Laos, anybody go to Laos, you can people take a nap after lunch. And after they wake up, they're just gossiping, how's your son-in-law, how's your wife, daughter-in-law. That's, people have a lot of time. But at that time, because of they have a lot of time, they have time to be with themselves. And when they have time to be with themselves, they have time to understand themselves. When they understand themselves, they can see what they want in their life. So many people see that they want happiness. They want love. They want to enjoy their life. So people see a lot of beauty in their life. So they express their beauty in many ways. Some people just carving the handle of the knife, very beautiful. The basket, they're weaving very nice. But now, nobody uses that one. Nobody can do something like that. People use plastic everywhere. So, I feel like, is something wrong in there? I cannot live in this way of living. So I decide to quit university and went back home. When I went back home, I start to live like when I remember when I was a kid. I start to work 2 months a year. I got 4 tons of rice. And then the whole family, 6 people, we eat less than 0.5 ton per year. So we can sell some rice. And then I dug two fish ponds. We have fish to eat all year round. And I start a small garden, less than half an acre. And I spend 15 minutes per day to take care of the garden. I have more than 30 varieties of vegetables in the garden. So 6 people cannot eat all of it. We have surplus to sell in the market. We can make some income in there too. So I feel like it's easy. Why I have to be in Bangkok for 7 years, working hard and then don't have enough to eat? But here, only 2 months a year and 15 minutes per day, I can feed 6 people. That's easy. And after that, I think that stupid people like me, who never get a good grade in the school, cannot have a house. Because people who clever than me, who get number one in the class every year, they spend, even they get a good job, but they need to work more than 30 years to have a house. But for me, who cannot finish university, how can I have a house? Hopeless for people who have low education like me. But when I start to do earthen building, it's so easy. I spend 2 hours per day, 5 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock in the morning. 2 hours per day. And 3 months, I got a house. And another friend who's the most clever in the class, he spent 3 months to build his house too, but he had to be in debt. He had to pay his debt 30 years. So compared to him, I have 29 years and 10 months of free time. So I feel that life is so easy. I never think I can build a house easy like that. And after that, I keep building house every year, at least one house a year. Now I have no money, but I have many houses. My problem is tonight, which house I'm going to sleep. So house is not a problem. Anybody can build a house. The kids 13 years old, after school, they make bricks together, make a house. After 1 month, they have a library. The kids can make a house. Very old nun can build a hut for herself. Many people can build a house. So it's easy. If you don't believe me, try it. If somebody wants to have a house. And then the next thing is clothing. I feel like I'm poor. I feel like I'm not handsome. I try to dress like somebody else, like a movie star, to make myself look good, look better. I spend 1 month to save money to buy a pair of jeans. When I wear it, I turn left and turn right, look at the mirror. Every time I look, I'm the same person. The most expensive pen cannot change my life. I feel like I'm so crazy. Why I had to buy it? Spend 1 month to have a pair of pants. It doesn't change me. I start to think more about that. Why we need to follow fashion? Because when we follow fashion, we never catch up with it because we follow it. So don't follow it, just stay here. Do what we use what we have. So after that, until now, 20 years, I never buy any clothes. All the clothes I have is left over from people. When people come to visit me, when they leave, they left a lot of clothes there. So I have tons of clothes now. And then when people see me wear very old clothes, they give me more clothes. So my problem is, I need to give clothes to people very often now. So it's so easy. And when I stop buying clothes, I feel like it's not only clothes. It's about something else in my life. What I learned is when I buy something, everything about, I buy it because I like it, or I buy it because I need it. So if I buy it because I like it, that means I'm wrong. So I feel more free when I think like this. And the last thing is, when I get sick, what will I do? I really worry in the beginning, because when I have no money, what I will do? But I start to contemplate more. Normally, sickness is normal thing. It's not a bad thing. Sickness is something to remind us that we did something wrong in my life, that's why we get sick. So when we get sick, I need to stop and come back to myself and think about it. What I did it wrong. So I learned how to use water to heal myself, how to use earth to heal myself. I learned how to use basic knowledge to heal myself. So after I rely on myself, this four thing, I feel like life is very easy. I feel something like a freedom, or something that I feel free. I feel like I don't worry about anything much. I have less fear. I can do whatever I want in my life. Before that, I have a lot of fear. I cannot do anything. But now I feel very fear. I feel like I'm a unique person on this earth, nobody like me. I don't need to make myself like anybody else. I'm the one, number one. So things like this make it easy, very light. And after that, I start to think about when I was in Bangkok, I feel very dark in my life. I start to think many people maybe think like me at that time. So we start a place called Phan Phan in Chiang Mai. This place, the main aim is just to saving seed, to collect seed, because seed is food. Food is life. If there's no seed, no life. No seed, no freedom. No seed, no happiness. Because your life will depend on somebody else, because you have no food. So it's very important to save seed. That's why we focus on saving seed. That's the main thing to be in Phan Phan. And the second thing is the learning center. We want to have a center for ourselves to learn. Learn how to make life easy. Because we were taught to make life complicated and hard all the time. How can we make it easy? It's easy. But we don't know how to make it easy anymore. Because we always make it complicated. And now we start to learn and learn to be together. Because we were taught to disconnect ourselves from everything else, to be independent, so we can rely on the money only. We don't need to rely on each other. But now, to be happy, we need to come back, to connect to ourselves again, to connect to other people, to connect our mind and body together again. So we can be happy. Life is easy. And from beginning until now, what I learned is the four basic needs, food, house, clothes and medicine must be cheap and easy for everybody. That's the civilization. But if we make these four things hard and very hard for many people to get it, that's uncivilized. So now when we look at everywhere around us, everything is so hard to get. So I feel like now is the most uncivilized era of human on this earth. We have so many people who finished from university, have so many universities on the earth, have so many clever people on this earth. But our life is harder and harder. We make it hard for who? We work hard for who right now? I feel like it's wrong. It's not normal. So I just want to come back to normal, to be a normal person, to be equal to animals. The birds make a nest in 1 or 2 days. The rat dig a hole in 1 night. But the clever human like us spend 30 years to have a house, and many people can't believe that I cannot have a house. They can't believe that they can have a house in this life. So that's wrong. Why we destroy our spirit? Why we destroy our ability that much? So I feel like it's enough for me to live in the normal way, in the abnormal way. So now I try to be normal. But people look at me as abnormal people, crazy people. But I don't care because it's not my fault. It's their fault because they think like that. So my life is easy and light now. That's enough for me. People can think whatever they want. I cannot manage anything outside myself. What I can do is change my mind, manage my mind. Now my mind is light and easy. That's enough. If anybody want to have a choice, you can have a choice. Choice to be easy or choice to be hard. It depends on you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Don, for playing the video. Thank you for suggesting the video. And who would like to share about it?
Okay, I'll share.
Okay.
Well, I feel like it's inspired me because that's not how we normally operate, where you work 2 months in a whole year, and then you have all this time off to look within and to introspect. You could use it for awakening. And instead of being stressed out and feeling overwhelmed by so many things that you think you have to do to be happy, what he's sharing is this message that we don't have to stress ourselves out, that the basic needs that we have can be met so easily. I had no idea before I saw this video that that was even a possibility. I didn't know you can make a house in 3 months. I didn't know you could just use materials from the earth somehow. I don't know how he does it, but yeah. I'm sure he doesn't have enough money to buy the materials, so they're making the bricks from the land.
Yeah. And
the fact that you could feel it. I mean, if you pay close attention in your own like inner self as you're listening to him, you could feel this lightness about him, this very he's passionate about the life, and he really believes it. I mean, he's experiencing life is easy. And I just think that's amazing. And he did say about going within and going within the mind, and so I don't know. I was very inspired by it. It was different, but I actually would think it would be kind of neat to see what he does at that place, pun, because they teach you different things and how to live on the land like that. I have no clue how you would even do that, but it sounds neat. So I'm not slave to someone else. Because if we buy this house, I'm renting right now. If I'm renting, I'm always going to be paying the same amount, and I'm stuck. And no, actually, that's not true, because it's going to go up. Rents just keeps going up. And so if my pay doesn't increase, but my rent keeps going up, you see how that makes you a slave. And then where will you live? And then also the whole thing of that hanging over you once you get a mortgage. When he said, when he started comparing himself to people who have a mortgage, just to have a home, and it takes them 30 years of work. A lot of people are working jobs to have a home, to have cars. And it does take most people 30 years to pay it off. And a lot of people are slaving away at a job they don't even care about or like. and they don't leave the job because of fear. I'll lose my house, I'll lose my car, and these things are very important to most people. And what he's saying is you can have it. You can have a house, you can have these things, and it's like we've been so brainwashed to think this is the only way it can be, that we have to have it the way they've set it up. And the refreshing part about this guy named John Jendai, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, is that he gives you, he's like, whoa, that's not it. There's another way. It doesn't have to be that way. And so for that, I'm quite impressed, because I think over our culture, the way we're taught as young children and society, culture is it's almost a slave mentality. And even he mentioned about the clothes. We're brainwashed. Let me speak for myself. You know, that you have to look a certain way. You have to wear these certain kind of clothes. You have to, you know, and so it gave me a fresh perspective on that too. Like, he is so okay with who he is as a human being, that if he wears a ripped shirt, he knows that someone's going to look at him and be like, hey, here's a ton of clothes for you. I mean, think about the mentality that's behind that, that is behind the mentality that it's an abundant consciousness. He knows he's going to be provided for. And I feel like that's what's simple. And once you have those basic needs, it's like the Abraham Maslow hierarchy of needs. As you have your basic needs taken care of, you see him relaxing with that book. How many people can have that much time, except when you're retired? When you're retired, that's different. That might be why most of our people here in Awakening Together we have the majority of people retired, because people my age, unless they're having a job like I have, where are you going to find the time to do things like MPP, gentle healing? These things, I mean, although they are beautiful, they're treasures, they're wonderful. I've had so many breakthroughs doing gentle healing year one. In my homework, the things that come through me blow my mind. So I know it's not the Dawn character. But it takes time. And who has that time when you're busy slaving away at a job? You do, and the job is what's making you crazy. You know, not yeah. always, but I mean, we're thinking about people who don't work at Awakening Together.
Yeah, right.
We love our jobs here. We're blessed. We know we're blessed, and I know I'm blessed. I love my job, but I feel so blessed because I do get to, for the first time in my life, I have a job I absolutely love. But there are millions of people out there who do not. And they are slaves to those jobs because they do not love their job. And they don't want to lose their house. They don't want to live on the streets. And who would blame them? So on that, I'm going to get off my soapbox and hand it over. Hopefully someone else will want to speak.
Well, for me, it was very simple. I mean, this man was living from his being, his heart. He didn't have to listen to all the noise the mind makes because of the pressures we have. I mean, I've lived a life where I worked I worked 7:30 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night. You know, I had my own art school and then I worked for a school system, and I was always like so many things in my mind, and the brainwashing, the conditioning was that, I had to have a retirement fund. Well, everything was absconded, and my ex-husband got sick, and he absconded all the money. So here I am, 40 years old, thinking I failed life. I really did. I thought I failed. And so I came to a little place that's called Altoona, where everything was affordable. And they had health care. Even though I was making more money as a teacher, I was still just beginning my life again at 40. And I started to see the simplicity of this place, that everything was so, I wanted to live life. I didn't want to live for a lifestyle. And when we're in the ego mind, we're in chaos. You can't be in the ego mind and not be in chaos, because we're in duality. And you can't have there's no one that's in their ego that can possibly have an easy time. So then what I heard from him was that he was in the right mind, And maybe that's as far as he needs to go. I mean, you know, it just seems like everything here is by divine design. And the woman that'll be on tonight that Sean is going to interview, I watched her. And basically, it's the message I keep getting that we truly are the divine. You know, that the ego is even part of the divine. Now, if I say that to a Course student, they would probably think, well, I know that Kate Grieve said, don't ever say that, Sharon. The ego can't possibly be part of it. Well, it is. If you read NTI, you go on. It is. It's all play. So we're learning. And Dawn, you picked a great, I love what you picked, because the simplicity. Look at the clothing that you wear. Like these pajamas, I wear them. I wash them and I wear them again. I have a lot of pajamas, but you wear the same things all the time, right? And a lot of people like look at their lives through things. And I don't know, something shut down in me in the material world didn't matter. I just wanted to know what God was. I grew up Jewish, but I didn't grow up religious. And the culture, forget it. The Jewish culture I grew up in was all materialism. So it was very frightening when I lost everything. I mean, it was, or I thought I lost everything. But I gained everything. I mean, I found the self. And I get to interact with people that really want what's real. And what this man was stating was, why do we have to make it hard? I mean, just look at our political world right now. It's just crazy insanity. All for what? I guess the divine, actually, if you ever watch Muji's movie that he had, I mean, he has a YouTube that says, you know, it's a movie. And he just says basically that, you know, God's having a good time with us, but we are that. So, I mean, it was just like, it's just about gratitude. And my life is very simple. I mean, I didn't know. I thought I was going to end up living in a over 50 building here where they go by your income. And I was fine. But I met my husband, just like he just came into my life when he was supposed to. And I didn't even care if we were going to be friends or I didn't even know. I was in a place where I realized that it wasn't up to me, that life basically was going to do what it was going to do, that I went through enough to know that I didn't have any power as a human. So that's what I got out of it is this man is in the right mind. He gets it. You don't need any of this garbage. School itself for me was not easy. I went to college, but I was not able to comprehend the way, you know, just sitting there and listening to stories about people that I didn't care about. I mean, it was like, why do I even need to know these things? So, yeah, it was beautiful, just beautiful. Thank you, Dawn, and thank you, Jacqueline.
Thanks for sharing, Sharon. That was great. And Lynn said she wanted to share, too. Lynn, go ahead and take the mic.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, you know, I had to chuckle when he said, school is boring, college is boring, you know, it's a lot of work. And I thought to myself, yeah, as I listened to him, I thought, wouldn't it be different if instead of just learning all this book knowledge, if we made them discover ways to make the world a better place, you know, mm-hmm. To feed the hungry and help all, the, you know, in different ways. But I think what really hit home with the simplicity of what he was saying, for me anyway, is, you know, when I go to the store, do I really need that? Am I buying it just because I like it? Or do I want it because I really want it or need it? You know, I think, and I have been trying to simplify, you know, because I've been blessed. We have a lot. And now it's like, okay, now I got to think about downsizing. So do I really need that? You know, and just his simple message is, you know, you have a choice. Do you want to make life easy or do you want to make it hard? And why make it hard when it can be easy? So I enjoyed it. I was going to go watch the Nines and then I realized what time it was. And I said, oh, TED Talk is on. Let me come and watch that. You know, let me come and join this. But I'm really glad I did, you know, because you know, just the message, you know, have the time to know what we really want in life and enjoy the beauty and the love that is here. Make life easy. So thank you. I enjoyed that.
Awesome. Thank you, Lynn, for sharing. Thank all of you for sharing. The presenter said that he believed that now is the most uncivilized time on earth. He said, we have all these universities, right? But we can't figure this out. And it was just really cool to hear him say that and to take that perspective. He says, we were taught to make life hard and complicated. What else was really cool, he said, we were taught to be independent. So we become independent, and then all we have to rely on is money. Right? And so what he's doing at his, it said pun on the screen. I'm not sure that was the correct translation. But anyway, what they're doing at their organization that they started there, he says is they're learning to rely on each other. He says, while we were taught to be independent and therefore had to rely on money, as you learn to, as you unlearn that and learn to come back together, you learn that you do have to come together in order to live a natural life. Yeah. I really thought it was funny too. I mean, he started his whole talk. He said, you know, other people came in and went, oh, you're poor. You're poor. You need to go to university so you can succeed. He's like, okay. He goes. And then like Lynn was just pointing out, you know, he said, like, school was very boring. And Sharon just told us the same thing, right? Who cares? That was fun. I got tickled when I heard Don a while ago going, how do you even make a house like just off the earth? That was great. Because you can. I mean, you know, that's what they did in the old days. I mean, you mix clay and straw and I don't know. There's a way to do it, right? but it's great. In fact, you know, there's a whole movement now. And I watched as I did some things around the house yesterday, I just let the TED Talks play on YouTube, and that's just a real fun thing to do. And there's a lot of stuff on there about a new movement of minimalism, and it's really gaining strength in this country, because people are starting to come to their senses. And I think A Course in Miracles says something about, you know, you use strips of paper and shiny pieces of metal to buy things you don't need and you don't want. Right? And that's what our lives are consumed with. Really, to hear that we don't have to live like that is like, I was teasing Don a minute ago when I'm like, oh my God, I think my house is at earth. But to hear it, to really hear, I don't have to toe the party line. I don't have to buy into, you know, I liked what he said about following fashion. He said, don't follow fashion. If you follow fashion, you're always following it. You'll never be done. it's really about discernment, right? It's about separating the valuable from the valueless. And this is what this guy has managed to do in his life. And I think, you know, I think that there's a real lesson in this for all of us. Okay. So how do we take this? I'm not going to go build a hut made out of clay and straw. I mean, it's just not going to happen. But how can I take what he said and bring it into this life? And you all have talked about that in your sharings. You know, you picked up on him saying, you know, when I, when I buy stuff because I like it, he said, I'm wrong, but you know, I'm messing up, right? If I'm just buying it because I like it, doesn't mean I can't ever see a little bauble that I don't go, oh, that's so cute, I gotta have, you know, but is this running our lives? Is this consuming us? You know, what price do we really pay for that stuff? You know, and I got to tell you, moving into this house, this 520 square feet, has been, you know, a little bit of a wake up call for me as well. So I didn't think I had a lot of stuff, but I got to tell you, you move into 520 square feet, you realize you got a lot of stuff. So you know, how much does this really cost? Well, I got to move it when I clean, and then I got to move it so I can put this other thing over here. And then, you know, so I'm all the time moving my stuff from one place to another. In fact, we had a huge windstorm here the other day, and Tom closed a window, and something came off the shelf, and three or four things came crashing down. In the old days, I'd have been really upset. And I'm like, oh, I guess I didn't need that stuff. Yeah, all that stuff that broke. So we do. Lynn says we get attached to stuff. Yeah. Do you own your things or do they own you? And so this video, this minimalism movement, all of that gives us the opportunity to pause and say, what's important? What's really important? You know, there was a book in recent history. I think I may have the book so in there on that bookshelf somewhere with all those other books, but about the art of tidying up, maybe something like that is the name. And in the book, she talks about, you know, taking all of your stuff out of the closet and putting it on the bed and only keeping the stuff that brings you joy. Well, why wouldn't we do that, right? Yes. What's it for? Does it spark joy? Yeah, exactly. Dawn says. So I really appreciate the central message. I think the guy was really cute. I thought it was so cute. He's like, he's got 29 years and 10 months on the other guy who has a 30-year mortgage. So so I did enjoy it. I appreciate you sharing it with us, Dawn.
Oh, I'm so glad you enjoyed it. But one of the things you pointed out that I forgot to mention that was specifically regards to our spiritual teachings, and how do these TED Talks match up with what we're learning here in Awakening Together? Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to choose this video, why it just sparked, like, oh, maybe, possibly this could be our TED Talk, was when he said, those people were saying, oh, you're poor. See, remember you said that. And okay, so what are we learning from all this inquiry process, the Byron Katie, all these different, we're undoing our beliefs. Do you see what he did to his life and how, what he said many, many, many times, how complicated it got? He even mentioned when he was in Bangkok that it was dark. And he, to me, it sounded like he was, if not depressed, really close to it. And how many people are suffering in this way, needlessly. Yeah. He bought into a belief. He bought hook, line, and sinker. The belief, oh, you're poor. So then that begs the question, we could use him as a example. Where am I believing? And I bought into, someone told me somewhere along the line, oh, you're poor, or oh, you come from a poor neighborhood, or you're, and then we assume we're poor because we're from the poor neighborhood, or like me, I asked my mom one day, and I was so ashamed, but I asked my mom, because I didn't know, I was like 8 or 9 years old, I had no clue, and I was like, so mom, are we middle class, we lower class, what are we? And at the time, because at that time, I was so ashamed to go into two different locations that I deemed as unworthy. For instance, my mom would shop for our clothes and her clothes at Goodwill. And I was beyond mortified. Beyond mortified. Please, God, no, don't let me see the people that I go to school with buying clothes from Goodwill. And another place that I actually went through a phase where I wouldn't even go into the store with my mom because I was afraid of being seen. And there was this place, this extreme discount store called Save-A-Lot. So because of that, I asked her, I was like, are we poor? What are we, lower class, middle class? And that was the day that I learned I think she tried to say we're middle class, but I'm like, but why do we shop there? It's pretty obvious we were lower. And then you get that mentality, you see? So however we adopted that belief. Now, for instance, you guys may not be able to relate to the poor thing like I am, or like this guy John is. But where do we relate to poor in a different way? Because let's be honest, that's the lack thought, not enough. However that shows up. So I could say, what if we use this TED Talk as a springboard to go to Holy Spirit in our contemplation meditation time, as soon as we feel prompted to do so, and directly ask Holy Spirit or intuition, our inner guidance, where am I still holding on to this belief I'm poor?
Yeah.
Where, however that shows up. And that's what that was one of the sparks of like, ooh, wow, do you see what happened 7 years in hell? It was as hell for him in Bangkok because he believed a lie that he was poor. Was he really, when he, full circle moment, come back to the very end of the talk where he's saying, life is easy. I feel so light. I feel I'm me. I'm unique. You know, he was really embodying who he was and feeling this lightness. If I'm not mistaken, okay, this is not total enlightenment, but this is talked about in NTI where it talks, and also Course in Miracles where it's talking about the happy dream where you walk lightly on the earth. So yeah, sure, he's not fully enlightened, but this feels like it's moving closer. It's you're like what Sharon was saying, it's more or it is closer to the right mind, which when you're in the right mind, you're that much closer to being enlightened or awakened. So, okay, on that note, I will give up the mic.
Hey, Donna, Sharon, did you want to speak?
Well, I was just thinking that we're so conditioned to have approval. We want to fit in. As children, you want to fit in, and we don't fit in. And the Course in Miracles explains that we don't, that we're all scared to death here because we don't fit in, you know. And so what do? We pattern ourselves by the children and, you know, and then we're ashamed. Like, for instance, you know, yours might have been money that you had an issue with. My mom had lots of emotional issues, and she was physically disabled. And as a child, I was hesitant I didn't want people to hear her scream. She would scream. I would be like, you know, let's go outside. Because, you know, so it was all about what other people thought. And you know what cracks me up now? You know, what are we learning? There's no others. There's only one. Right? And here, what is it now that we still, where do I still compare myself to another? That's what I have to look at, you know, because I want to lose weight. So what, do I want to lose weight because I want to be healthy or because I want to look good for 65? You know, these are things to contemplate because you're not the body, yet you believe you are. So here we are in the body. But, you know, it's these questions are great to contemplate and to sit with. You know, it's nobody's fault. I think it's all part of the script, really, but it's wonderful and a gift that we can do this and join together, you know, and you know, just all of us have shame in the ego. The ego is full of shame. You know, that's just part of the way it's built. That's all. Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you, Sharon. I appreciate you sharing. Yeah. I mean, when you said it's just the way the ego is built, you know, it has shame. I, you know, The ego is certainly the confused mind. And anyway, what I heard was the ego is shame. You know, it's the total reason for being is shame. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, and you know, as we always say, there's only one thing going on here. There's only one thing. So there's just God godding. So, you know, if you're comparing yourself to other people, right? What a wasted endeavor. Go out and have fun. Go play. Have fun. Don't be wasting your time comparing. I was also, it also came to mind as we were watching John give that, give his talk, you know, that Jesus talked about the same thing when he talked about the lilies of the field. You know, they neither toil nor something else. They don't have to work hard. They don't have to do anything, right? Yet they're clothed more beautifully than the kings of the earth. You know, it's just like it's a way of being in the world. You know, one of the questions that we looked at for years, that we've heard for years, is can a CEO be enlightened? Right? I mean, can you put in the kind of time you need to put in to your business to be have a successful business and be a good CEO? And can you put in the time that you need to? Well, maybe we should ask one of our CEOs. Hey, Connie, can you be a CEO and be enlightened? No. That's the definitive answer to that question. But really, I think that what this talk overall points to is first of all, like we said, separating the valuable from the valueless, and then how important it is to make time for things that matter, to slow down, to make space in your life. And that's what the sorting of the valuable and the valueless is for. So you can go, oh, I don't have to do this, this, and this, and this. I can let all that go, and then I can have time for practice, meditation, to learn what beauty is. I mean, that's what he was saying. He's like, you know, when people have time, they have time to make beautiful things, to appreciate beauty. You know, it's not just plastic, you know, using a bunch of plastic one-and-done stuff, right? And that's how we've gotten into this insane cycle. So, so again, that's for me, that's the one of the overarching messages of the video is slow down, figure out where you can do without this thing or that thing in order to make time to do your practices, to notice the beautiful. Okay.
Another thing that I found that was a takeaway point that ties in with what we're learning here and awakening together is, his message was really keep it simple.
Yeah.
Keep it simple, sweetheart. So where are we overcomplicating this whole awakening thing?
Very nice.
Where are we doing that? And that's another question perhaps we could take to Holy Spirit and like, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to see this with you. Help me see where I'm overcomplicating and making this, like he said, he would kept using the word, you know, how we make things complicated.
Yes.
And I believe that is one of the ways that ego, almost like a genius, like the ego is a genius at complicating things. I remember, and you may remember this too, Jacqueline, we had a training session, a team building training session with Regina. Way back when, probably like in June or July. And in that, two of her messages were so clear. And one of them was, is it necessary? Two, is it simple? Are we keeping it simple? And is it necessary? And I think that's the takeaway point that John is pointing out so much. Is it necessary? And is it simple? Because truth, Ramana Maharshi says this in one of the, where we get all those quotes, truth is simple. So if we're keeping it simple, we are aligning with truth. Okay, letting go.
Yeah, and we do that. I mean, I think you're absolutely right, Dawn. In keeping it simple, we allow ourselves the time to just be with ourselves. And, you know, he said that. He said, because they have time, talking about his people back home, because they have time to be with themselves. And they get to see what they want, and they have time for beauty. And I think that the same thing is offered to us. We just have to discern what's important, what we need to continue, you know, what activities we need to continue and what can be let go, what things we have to have and what can be let go. And all of these things separating the wheat from the chaff, if you will, it gives us room in our life for what's important. Yeah.
You know, did you hear the phrase keep it simple, stupid? Because that was said to me by a therapist. You know, it was kind of like I was going on and on about all my drama, and he said, keep it simple. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, Sharon, but keep it simple, stupid. I took his advice.
Yeah, Don said it in a much sweeter way. Keep it simple, sweetheart. Much better.
Yeah, he said stupid. That's just like a saying. I don't know. He was a sweet man.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Okay, we got a couple minutes left. Anybody want to share before we go? If you do have some time and you're interested in this this particular subject, you might want to search TED.com or YouTube TED Talks for this minimalist movement. Those are some really interesting videos. So, Dawn, I appreciate you sharing the video that you found with us so that we could share it amongst ourselves. I appreciate everybody being here. I love you. And I love this program. Love doing it with you. So I'll see you next time.